1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine, heard every Thursday from 2 to 4 here at 1010 AM K. K what? KXXT, Greg.
Yes.
I was going to let you say that.
Well, I let you do it.
Oh, thank you.
I thought you should do it.
Oh, now you. I'm
on
you.
Now. Yes.
Why
I'm
were you
back
not
to this
on
one.
Before?
We're playing
you got
a microphone tag.
Musical.
Here. I'm on this one. And
both Smithies.
Anyway, hey, why are you talking to the wrong one? Okay, Greg is in studio, and of course Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
No, Greg.
He messed it up.
And Greg, you're not being heard. You're confusing Tommy. Stick to one mic or the other. Okay.
Tom, I'm going to stick
Greg,
with this one.
How long have you
number
been,
three.
Greg, you've been on the air over six
Which
years.
Which one is this? See, that
three.
One's the
it
red
says
one.
Right on the
oh,
side.
Oh, it's blue, my favorite color. Well, second favorite color.
You have been on the
favorite.
Air over 6 years, and not to know that which mic works is a crying shame. And this is a new movie we're going
to
review today.
Well, I was going to do both mics because, kind of juggle it a
hey,
little
that's
bit.
Not
this,
bad.
This one is mine.
Yeah, see, oh,
good.
Tommy
I'll
has...
I'll let you keep that one, Tommy.
This one. Tommy has mic four.
Because, Tommy, when we do movie reviews, we got to have you come in and get your predictions on how many zings Joseph Iardo gives.
You're going to make me talk?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, let's pull
gonna,
you into the...
I was going to change up the zine thing.
Wow, yeah. But we do have a great show today, Joseph.
Yeah, we do.
You got a great guest calling in, Mark Weber.
Yes.
And calling in when? A couple
anytime,
minutes?
Yeah, anytime now. And
he did the End of Love?
Yeah, well, let me tell you a little bit about this movie. It's called The End of Love. It comes out here in Phoenix next week, next Friday, exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. And basically this stars Mark Weber. He wrote and directed it as well. And when the mother of his two-year-old son, Isaac, suddenly passes away, he plays a struggling actor. He's forced to grapple with his ability to grow up. As he kindles a relationship with a young single mother, Shannon Sossaman, he begins to realize that he can no longer remain in denial about the real-life consequences his choices have on Isaac, who is played by Weber's real-life son. So
that's
a good
Will
first
Smith.
Name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like the first name. Why is that, Joseph?
Why? What, Mark? Or Isaac? Oh, Isaac. Yeah.
Yes. He knows. All right.
But, yeah.
So, anyway, joining us right now is Mark Weber. Mark, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're excellent. Thank you so much for being on our show today. And I'm going to move it back to Joseph here, our movie reviewer.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us, Mark. I had a chance to see this film, and... you know, I'll have my review on next week, but I wanted to say that, it's a very intimate movie, and I think that is in part for two things. The first of this is your son, and also it's kind of based on your own childhood. But first I want to touch on your son's experience here with the film. What was that like, having your son on the screen with you?
Oh, it was pretty incredible. I mean, you know, I set out to make a film about a father and son that you hadn't really seen before. And so, you know, being able to make this, my boy who was just 2 years old at the time and was just had learned how to speak, was a really, really amazing experience. And what was really awesome about this the whole time is just knowing that I have this built-in gift for my son, you know, when he's of the age to be able to watch this movie, to sit down when he's 10 years old and show him this film that he starred in when he was 2 years old and really didn't have any idea about it.
Right. Okay. Well, and can you tell me a little bit about the, was this improvised or, and how did that work with him?
Yeah. Well, so yes, the whole film was improvised, but it was very structured improv. So basically, you know, I wrote a treatment and had this very specific story that I wanted to tell, and very specific characters and how they related to each other. And for me, having worked as an actor in films for like the last 13 years, my part of my drive wanting to be a director is to create these ultimate working environments for myself and other actors. So basically, where I was able to live in character, you know, set up very elaborate settings between me and my son so that no matter what we were doing in these improv moments, we'd be fueling the story and these plot points that we needed to hit.
Now, Mark, let me ask you a question. I know 2 years is young for a son, a daughter, but do you think your son sort of understood he was being filmed?
Well, yeah, so rehearsal process, if you could even call it that, is that my DP came over for a few weeks and started filming us. And we shot on these Canon 5D cameras, which are, you know, very small cameras. They're not like a typical film camera. And so it's really not invasive. And Patrice, my DP, would just kind of stand off to the side and film us. And Isaac, at that point, you know, would watch videos on my phone, and, you know, we'd take pictures on my iPhone and watch little videos. So he was aware of the idea of what videos are. But he knew that Patrice was just making videos of us. Eventually, towards the end of filming, there was a few moments where I felt like he was acting a little bit. I felt like he was aware that this was something more than just us making these videos.
That is so cool. I do have a question. What was his contract like? I'm just kidding. Okay.
he had the best contract out of anyone on the entire film.
I bet. That is very, very cool. Hey, wait, uh-huh. When they come around for lunch, I guess you had to feed him a different type of food, perhaps. Now, how much of your own past experience was brought into this film?
Well, you know, for me, the writing process and the reason why I make films right now as a director at this point in my life is it's very exploratory. It's all about, you know, exploring different themes and questions that I'm just, you know, thinking about in my current life. And the writing process for me is very therapeutic. So I always, you know, draw in a lot of my own life experiences. And in particular with this movie, it's really close to the ways just in terms of what it means to be a single parent. Also, little touches into, you know, I had a very rough childhood and was homeless for a few years with my mother. And there's a scene in the film where we're kind of forced out. You know, we're going to be kicked out of our place. And that was something that I'd experienced countless times as a child. There's little things like that throughout the film. There's definitely part of it.
Now, let me ask you this. What type of message are you trying to get out there? Is this part of a cause, a greater cause, to create more awareness for homeless, for single parents? There's quite a bit of that going on. Very sad, and maybe not as much awareness as people, as they should get, and help as well. Is that part of why you did this film?
You know, I guess, for sure. You know, I think that, you know, the part of the reason why I make movies in general is to have people, you know, invoke some type of emotional response and put something out there that people can relate to. And, you know, obviously homelessness and, you know, poverty are a huge issue in this country. And now this character in particular, it's a way different version than most people. I mean, this guy is in his situation by his own choice, really, and dealing with grief. And so I didn't set out to make this movie with a particular, you know, political agenda, whereas my first film kind of was loaded with that. This was more just to put out there a real portrait of real vulnerability and real intimacy and what it really means to be a parent, as opposed to some of these Hollywood versions of movies where there's like the poopy diaper and, ooh, it's all crazy, zany, wacky. You know, yeah. Like this was my attempt at, you know, just showing people, you know, real life as best I could.
Now, Mark, you have a very impressive resume, you know, starting out as an actor, appearing when you were younger in such films as Boiler Room, Drive Me Crazy, Storytelling, you know, and, of course, a few years ago, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which one of my favorite movies of all time. And I just wanted to ask, with writing and directing, getting into it a little more recent, is that something that you always felt you wanted to do when you got started with acting as well? Or is that something just in the last couple of years you really thought, hey, you know, I really want to get into this?
You know, it is always something that I kind of felt myself wanting to do. I feel like it's been my natural progression. And I, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with some really talented directors. So definitely, like, after I did my Woody Allen movie, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit from that. And then my Jarmusch movie, and then working with Stallone and Vinterberg and being around Von Trier, like, seeing and appreciating just how much of a collaborative effort it is to film. And realizing, for me, you know, within the last couple of years, that I will be able to give stronger, more focused performances by being able to have my hand kind of in everything, and also being able to provide other actors with the ultimate working environment and opportunity to kind of showcase their abilities in a way that they maybe can't do on a traditional film set. So it definitely has been something I've always wanted to do, and I'm really happy and grateful I'm able to do that now.
And Mark, speaking of other actors, including yourself in this film, there's a lot of other great actors, and many of them, including, you know, Michael Cera, I know, obviously worked with on Scott Pilgrim, but, you know, Michael Cera, Shannon Sossaman, Jason Ritter, of course, son of the late John Ritter, Amanda Seyfried, and Aubrey Plaza. So quite a collection of actors. And how did you get them all together for this film?
Well, you know, they're all people that I've worked with. And they've, through us working together, we've all become friends. And what's been really awesome for me is that, you know, having worked with so many talented people throughout the years and forging these relationships and friendships, now I'm able to go back and utilize those friendships in a way that really gives me an advantage than a lot of other producers out there trying to get their films made. And it's really awesome, and it's definitely, you know, helped informed my voice as a director. You know, the future films, including the film that I'm putting together right now that I'm going to go and direct, is being assembled in a very similar way, where, you know, I approach actors that I've worked with before or have some relationship with and kind of workshop ideas with them and build that into this story that I want to tell. So, yeah, they're ultimately all friends of mine, and to, you know, have faith and belief in me as an artist and are willing to go on this journey with me, and it's really incredible.
Now, Mark, one of my favorite questions to ask filmmakers or actors is, what did you learn about yourself from this project? I would like to know, change that question a little bit this time and say, what did you learn about yourself from your son working on this project?
Oh, well, I learned that I am definitely a lot more patient in my life now, and I'm really glad that I am. You know, and for me, this whole film, well, the really interesting aspect of it is that as an actor, you're always striving to be present and in the moment so you can be as truthful as possible and somehow convince, you know, the audience moment to moment that you are really, you're a real human being having this real experience. And I feel like, you know, so much of life in general is really is an exercise in being present. I feel like as human beings, we are so either obsessed with our futures or dwelling on the past, and it's pulling us out of our what's currently happening in our lives, and that affects our level of happiness on a daily basis. And so, you know, with Isaac and being a parent, it's the most extreme exercise in being present, because children are just present. They simply go from moment to moment. They're not concerned about their futures, and they're not thinking about their past. They're just reveling in what's currently happening. And this whole film was made essentially in real time, going moment to moment, with my son, who was really guiding the entire film.
I was going to ask, I love that concept. I mean, present moment, that's what society really needs, and you're right about children. They just seem to be naturally in the present moment. Is that something, as a parent, you're going to watch over him carefully so he never loses that as he grows up?
Yeah, I think that's been the awesome thing about my relationship with my son is that he's reinforced the importance of remaining present in me, and in turn, it's making me want to really protect that aspect inside of him, because I think, part of growing up is this loss of innocence, and you start to develop concerns, fears, and worries associated with, how you are supposed to perform as a person in society. And, so definitely as a dad, I want to help, in that side of him and help him remain as present as possible and staying a kid for as long as he possibly can. I think children are really forced to grow up really quickly in this day and age, and I have a hard time with that.
Absolutely, Mark. And speaking of your son's name, we love his first name, Isaac. Two of us in studio have the last name Isaac,
so
very good there. And speaking of family, your mom has done a fantastic job. Obviously, a lot going on when you were younger, but I understand she was, and this really helps the cause as well, vice presidential nominee in 2012 for the Green Party.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. My mom's come a really long way. She's an incredible human being. She's one of the most selfless people I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, almost to the point of her own detriment sometimes, she puts other women and children and men and families before herself, constantly. And it's something that's so inspiring and so beautiful to see in a person. And I was really so proud of my mother, and I was so happy to be able to vote for her, another, radical woman. It was really great to see two women, on the ticket for president last year, and it was really, really, amazing what the Green Party has been able to achieve just that, last year in their campaign and building towards, and it's pretty incredible. I'm so happy to be her son.
Mark, I want to go back for a second to my comment earlier about it being a very honest and intimate movie. I think that's in part also because it's filmed in a way that feels like this is a home movie. Can you comment on that? Is that something that kind of went in your head that you wanted this to look like that, or was that never an intention?
Oh, no, for sure, entirely. I mean, I really wanted to blur the lines between reality and fiction. I wanted people to experience this film in a way that they don't normally experience a movie. A lot of times you go and see a movie and you're like, oh, this is a really good movie. That was a great performance. I wanted to try and extract that a little bit and make it feel like a little dangerous at some points and a little odd and a little like, what is this exactly? Is this really this guy? Is this really his child? Did this really happen? And in order to achieve that, those kind of emotions that I wanted to invoke people was to really aesthetically make it, feel the way it did. So, we shot very cinema verite style, fly on the wall, and, we used these really small cameras and kind of used their limitations and turned them into their strengths. And were able to really, when you're just working with cameras that small and you're not doing any slating and, there's no crew, I was able to set up these situations to make them feel like they're real life as opposed to people performing like this is real life, And that was really in the setup of it all. So for sure, it was definitely an intention all the way.
Well, this sounds fantastic. The movie is called The End of Love, being released, a week from this Friday, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And, of course, Mark Webber, actor, writer, director, multi-talented, and his son in the movie. We encourage everyone to get out there and see this movie. It sounds fantastic. Support a great cause. Mark Webber, we'd love to have you on again. We really honor and admire you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, and thank you again. We'll have you on absolutely one more, several times.
For your next film. Yeah,
yeah, no question about it. Thank you, Mark.
All right, great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
okay.
Mark.
Wow, that was fantastic. I love causes like that. It just makes the world a better place. Mark, it was very touching the way Mark was describing his mom, very proud of her, proud to be her son. We love that. Well, yeah, we'll have him on again. I can't wait, actually. That's something of that the world needs, more messages like that, solving causes that really hurt people. We like it. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to do some movie reviews.
Absolutely.
With Joseph Iardo.
Iardo.
Oh, you always say that. Iardo. You didn't say it. You're supposed to say Iardo.
No, I'll just say
I
No,
them
I only say Iardo.
Okay.
I'm
and
only
this,
programmed to say that.
How about Joseph?
No, only Iardo.
Nope. How about Greg?
Only Iardo.
All right, and this is The Magazine, heard every Thursday from 2 to 4 here on KXXT. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, my name is Shirley Harshberger-Pridgett. I own Harshberger Assisted Living at 7202 West Libby Street in Glendale, Arizona. I'm inviting you to come over and visit my care home for the elderly. I have a 24-hour awake staff, and I care for all phases of illness, including hospice, Alzheimer's, and dementia. You don't need an appointment. Just drop by. My phone number is 623-842-1408. Again, it's 623-842-1408. Mention David Isaac's name, and your loved one's deposit will be free. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise, or not currently collectible status. Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.